Hello, David Deger Hernandez here. You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest sermons and teachings. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. I believe that God wants to break fear and anxiety from off of your life once and for all. You're watching this, the anointing is flowing, the power of God is here. And I truly believe that as you hear this word, that anxiety and fear that have gripped your heart, that have gripped your mind, that have gripped your thoughts, that anxiety and fear is going to lose its grip and you're going to walk in the peace of the Holy Spirit. I truly believe this message is prophetic because in this hour, I have seen in the Spirit that this attack, this demonic assault of anxiety and fear has been launched against the body of Christ and against God's people. But today we're going to get into the word, and I truly believe that from this moment on, you will find liberty from that attack. No more anxiety, no more fear. It's going to be broken off of your life. Tag your friends, share this video. I truly believe that God is going to use this as a prophetic message. You never know who's struggling in this area. So share it with your friends and let's get this prophetic word out because this program has been anointed. And I say that with confidence because the Lord spoke to me very clearly to teach on this topic, to preach on this topic, that you might be set free from fear and anxiety. And even if that's something that's not necessarily gripped you personally, this is something you need to know so that you can minister freedom to others who struggle in this area. Now, for the most part, fear and anxiety come from the flesh. But that doesn't mean that demonic beings cannot agitate, prolong, or intensify this battle, this inner struggle with anxiety and with fear. Some of you, you lack the peace of God. Now, the truth is that the believer is to be crowned with the peace of God. That is a mark, a spirit-filled mark that is to be upon the life of the believer, the peace of God. But sometimes we struggle. There is this inner chaos. There is conflict. There is clutter within the mind, within the heart. We are bombarded with thoughts. We are bombarded with negative ideas. We are bombarded with fears about what the future might hold for us and filled with apprehension, filled with terror. We go through facing life without the peace of God. But God wants to give you His peace, His perfect peace that passes all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make any sense why you should have this sort of peace. Even if you're in the middle of chaos, you can have this peace, the apprehension for the future, the fear of what might be, the phobias and the paranoia. All of that needs to come to an end. There are people watching me. In fact, there is somebody watching me. Fear and anxiety, they have gripped your life so much so that sometimes you can't even leave your house. The anxiety and the fear, it plagues your mind and it affects your view of how God sees you. It affects your perception of where you stand with the Lord. And perhaps that anxiety is linked to shame of the past or linked to what might go wrong in the future. Perhaps you are afraid of sickness. Perhaps you are afraid of death. Perhaps you are afraid of interaction with other people. Whatever the case may be, anxiety chokes the life out of you. Fears, whether they are reasonable or unreasonable, stubbornly find their place in our mind, and they are difficult to remove. They are difficult to break. These thought patterns are difficult to escape, but we can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. You were called to live in peace. You were not called to live in paranoia. You were not called to live in torment. You were not called to live in fear and terror and apprehension about the future. You were called to be crowned with peace. God wants to give you peace. If you don't have peace, then something isn't right. Because the Bible makes it very clear that the believer is to walk in peace. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 say, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." We must remain in peace. You know, you can be delivered from addiction, you can be delivered from demonic beings, and you can be delivered from spiritual bondage. But for the rest of your life, until you reach glorification, you will battle the flesh. And fear and anxiety, though again, they can be agitated, prolonged, or intensified by demonic beings, are primarily found in the flesh. They come from the flesh. They come from self. They come from worry. They come from fear. That is the place of the soul. But God wants to give you breakthrough in this area, and only Jesus can give you this peace. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Only Jesus can give you peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The scripture says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." When Jesus gave himself upon that cross, when he shed his blood for you, he didn't just die for the forgiveness of your sins. He died to make you whole. He died to give you peace. He died that even the effects of sin might be removed from you. When you sin, you damage your conscience. When you sin, you cause shame to come about within the soul. When you sin, you disconnect yourself from the Lord and find yourself in chaos and find yourself with concern and find yourself filled with inner clutter. And all of those things torment the mind. Sin torments the mind. Guilt torments the mind. Shame torments the mind. But Jesus died not just to forgive your sins. Jesus died to heal your mind, to bring peace to your mind. So he restores you, completely healing you from even the effects of sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know, the scripture calls him in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Prince of Peace. And it was while I was reading about the crucifixion of Jesus that the Lord spoke to me something that really just moved me. I don't know about you, but there are those moments when I'm reading the scripture and perhaps I've missed something before. But in those moments, God reveals something to you that's precious and maybe even rarely known. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment when I was reading about the crucifixion of Jesus. And the Lord spoke to me in the moment when I was reading about how they placed a crown of thorns upon his head. And I remember when I was reading of that terrible thing they did to the Lord, when they placed the crown of thorns upon his head, the Holy Spirit brought to my memory, he's the Prince of Peace. And the Lord told me it was with the crown of thorns that Jesus was crowned the Prince of Peace. He bled upon his crown, the crown of his head, so that he might set your mind free. Jesus died to give you peace. If Jesus wanted you to live in torment, he would not have paid such a high price for your peace. If Jesus wanted you to live in fear and anxiety, he would not have shed his blood for your peace. The chastisement of our peace, the price for our peace, was upon him. He paid it. So how do you walk in this peace? Well, number one, you walk in peace by obeying. Number one, you need to obey. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. And that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Now, the perfect love of God removes from us all fear. However, it is possible that we can disrupt the flow of God's perfect love in our lives through disobedience. So perfect love casts out all fear. And if we are living in fear, it's because we are afraid of punishment. Why would someone be afraid of punishment? It's because they've done something wrong. So disobedience makes you afraid. Disobedience robs you of peace. When we live in a way to where we do not fully experience the perfect love of God, we invite inner chaos. We invite inner clutter. We invite inner conflict. And really, the truth is that lacking peace isn't just about anxiety and fear. It's about just chaos. It's about just clutter. The mind is so filled with so many different things that it cannot focus itself upon the things of God. Now, we have fully experienced the love of God when we walk in obedience. And if we are not walking in obedience, then we have not fully experienced God's love. Now, let me be very clear. I am not saying that God doesn't love you if you disobey. I am simply saying that you do not receive the fullness of those benefits within yourself, such as peace, if you are walking in disobedience. The flow of God's love is coming to you, but it's very difficult to receive God's love when we are not walking according to God's love. The trouble is not with God offering his love, it's with us receiving it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says this, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." You cannot have both evil and peace in your life. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, "Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it." Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22 says, "But there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord." Disobedience is a door for anxiety in your life. When you're not walking according to God's will, when you're not walking according to how God told you to walk, you invite anxiety to grab hold of your heart and your mind. And the further you walk into disobedience, the tighter the grip of anxiety comes upon you. If you want to be free of anxiety, if you want to be free of fear, if you want to finally cast off this weight of paranoia, then you have to walk in obedience toward God. Psalm chapter 119, verse number 165 says, "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." When you love this word so much that you walk in it, when you love this word so much that you obey it, you walk in perfect peace. Obedience brings peace. Number two, prayer brings peace. Now, specifically, the prayer request brings peace. Now, I know the prayer request is sort of looked down upon in some Christian circles. And I've heard people, whenever they're talking about the prayer request or asking God to move in your life concerning the natural things, be accused of preaching the prosperity gospel or believing the prosperity gospel. But let me make something very clear. The Bible teaches that God wants you to prosper. Now, I am not saying that you'll never have any struggles. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow Christ. I'm not saying that there will never be any conflict in your life. I'm simply saying that God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to place resource in your hand so that you can fund the gospel further. That's the truth. Look, here's why people like this channel is because I do everything within me to hold true to what the Bible says. And some people are offended at some things and some people are offended at other things. But look, you can't be offended when I tell you that the Bible teaches that God wants you to prosper. Now, again, I'm not saying it's all about money. I'm not saying it's all about self. I'm not saying it's all about comfort. But the truth is that God does want to bless you. And in fact, it is the prayer request that opens the door to peace in our lives. The scripture makes it very clear. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 say, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, this scripture is very popular. We often claim it. I want perfect peace that passes all understanding. And we claim it religiously without understanding it completely. The scripture is talking here about making your requests known to God. Now, I want to note something here. First of all, the scripture says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So substitute your worry with prayer. Secondly, it says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. In other words, you can tell Him about your needs while still being thankful for everything He has given you. Asking God for more does not mean that you are ungrateful. Asking God for more does not mean that you are unthankful. You can ask God for things. You can tell Him what you need while thanking Him for what He has done. The scripture makes it very clear that you can do both at the same time. So this scripture is talking about prayer requests. It's talking about unburdening yourself of your concerns and placing them in God's hands. Look, the scripture says in Psalm chapter 103, verse 14, "For He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust." In other words, God understands our weaknesses. God understands how we are made. God understands that we need to unburden ourselves through the prayer request by giving Him all of our concerns. So God gives us the prayer request. He says, come and ask me. Tell me what you need while thanking me for what I've already given you. And as we're asking, as we're telling Him of our needs, as we're giving Him our concerns, we are giving our burdens to God. If you're financially distraught, give it to God. If your relationships are in disarray, give it to God. If your health is an issue, give it to God. If there's trouble in your mind, give it to God. Whatever you are facing, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, you can hand it over to God through the prayer request. And this is what the scripture says in verse 7. Then, in other words, this is in sequence after you've made the prayer request. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. When will you experience it? Then. When is this then? It's after you've unburdened yourself of the prayer request. So the prayer request is not evil. It's not selfish. It's not self-centered. It's not worldly. It's not the prosperity gospel. The prayer request is simply you taking all of your burdens, all of your concerns, and saying, Lord, here's what I need from you, and now I give it to you. Now, here's the problem. Most Christians stop here. Because the prayer request is the gateway to peace. You can take all your concerns, put them in the hands of God, and be free of the burden of those concerns. But then here's the problem. Most believers, they come with their prayer request, they give it to God, they feel the peace of God flood their heart, and then they say, okay, Lord, I'm done. Thank you. I'm leaving now. That's a problem. That's where it becomes an issue when you stop there. But God gives us the prayer request so that we can experience His peace and therefore enter deeper into His presence, not leave and just experience the shallow things. God has given us the prayer request as a tool to unburden ourselves and give Him our concerns. So number one, obey. Number two, pray. The prayer request is fine. You can ask Him for things. Number three, and this is probably one of the more difficult ones, is trust. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 say, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus understood the human condition and man's, I shouldn't say need, but man's desire to control everything. Man has this desire to control everything, and that desire to control everything is expressed through worry. Worry is a useless attempt at control. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get that. Worry is a useless attempt at control. Those of you with anxiety and those of you who struggle with paranoia or fear and phobias and all of these things, really what it is this deep-based fear of pain or death or something that you do not want to experience. And so what you do, here's how the mind works. What we do to try to take control over what we're afraid might harm us is we worry. We imagine that if we can think about something enough, if we can obsess about something enough, if we can concern ourselves with something enough, that we will take control of that situation. But the truth is that we cannot control anything by worry. We cannot add a single hour to the day, Jesus said, by worrying. Worrying is a useless attempt at control. So what should we do instead? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Whatsoever is true, that's a big one. We must rid ourselves of the lies of the enemy. If what we believe contradicts the word of God, then it is a lie. If what we believe keeps us from approaching God, it is a lie. If what we believe keeps us from experiencing the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit, then it is a lie. You identify the lies by finding the beliefs that rob you of peace. If what you are believing is robbing you of peace, is robbing you of joy, then either it is completely a lie, tied to a lie, or based on a lie in some way. But deception is so powerful because it is believable. We would not believe unbelievable lies. We believe things like, well, maybe God doesn't love me as much as I think he does. We believe things like, well, maybe God hasn't forgiven me. Why? Because it's believable that God wouldn't forgive us because of our sin. And we know how wicked we can be. We know how unbelieving we can be. So it makes sense to us. God wouldn't forgive me. God wouldn't love me. And it's believable. But we have to compare what we believe to the truth of the word of God. Whatsoever is true. And this is the difficult part. You have to trust. People analyze things too much. People overthink too many things. You don't know how many messages I get, how many phone calls I get from people who just are overthinking their situation. They know what the Word of God says concerning His forgiveness, concerning His love, concerning His protection, concerning His mercy, yet they obsess over silly things that they've done. They obsess over sinful things that they've done. They obsess over odd beliefs or odd ideas that they have that make them fearful. I know people who believe that God will never forgive them. I know of people who believe that they were created to live in torment. I know people who believe just the strangest things, but you need to be rid of those thoughts and focus your mind and say, I'm going to grab hold of the truth and I'm not going to believe anything that's a lie. And that comes to trust. This is the part where you let go. This is the part where you stop obsessing over everything. Stop trying to fix everything by thinking about it. Stop trying to analyze every little thing. Stop trying to pinpoint every little problem. Stop trying to find your own solution. Just let it go. That's right. Let it go. Just say, Lord, I give it to you. I trust you. I'm not going to obsess over this. I'm not going to analyze this anymore. And you need to get angry and say, I am done. Righteous indignation needs to rise within you. And you need to say, I am done with the spirit of fear. I break that power off of me in Jesus' name. You've got to come out of that clutter. You've got to come out of that overthinking. Even now, as I'm talking to you, even now, you're hearing what I'm saying. You want to grab hold of it, but all of these thoughts are coming into your mind, stopping you from receiving what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, that is the flesh. Let go and trust. Just be at peace. Stop worrying. You know, worry and hurry is a two-headed monster. Worry and hurry come together. Everything is chaotic. Everything is cluttered. Everything has conflict because of worry, because of fear, because of paranoia, because of anxiety. Just let it go. Stop trying to control the outcome by thinking about it. Stop trying to add to the day. You cannot add an hour to the day by worrying about anything. Just trust. So number one, obey. Number two, pray, specifically the prayer request. Number three, you got to learn to trust. Just let go. Stop trying to control everything. And finally, number four, I have one verse for this, and this is the most helpful, is worship. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When your mind is on the Lord, when your mind is focused on Jesus, you experience perfect peace. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about worship. Worship is only worship when God is the only object. Worship is only worship when your focus is on the Lord. If you're focusing on your worries, if you're focusing on your problems, if you're focusing on your situation while you're worshiping, you're not really in worship. Just let go. Forget about your troubles. Forget about your concerns. Stop obsessing. Just relax and worship the Lord. Let me pray with you now. Let's break this spirit of fear. And from now on, once the spiritual bondage is broken, it's up to you to subject the flesh and maintain the discipline of not allowing your thoughts to run over the peace of God. So Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that one. I feel the anointing. That one watching now, I pray the spirit of fear from this day forward, the spirit of anxiety, be broken off of their lives in Jesus' name. I break every power of the enemy. I bind every spirit. Lord, I pray right now, complete and total freedom. I break the spirit of anxiety. I break that spirit of fear. And I command total peace to come upon them. Lord, we thank you for newfound freedom. We thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I pray the anointing would break every yoke of bondage. I pray the anointing would deliver that one who is receiving this prayer from fear. In Jesus' name we pray. And I want you to say it. If you believe it, say amen. Look at this day forward, it's broken. Now walk in that freedom. Don't be a slave to anxiety any longer. From this day forward, I pray it's a changing day in your life. Well, I sure do love you, and I thank you for those who have signed up to become our partner. Thank you, partners. You help make all of this possible. And that is it for this edition of Spirit Church. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.